AM W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We're expecting President Trump to issue an executive order as early as today to try to shut down the Education Department. CBS's Natalie Brand with reaction from the head of the American Federation of Teachers.
New Education Secretary.
Here's Natalie.
She says trying to abolish it, which, by the way, only Congress can do, sends a message that the president, quote, doesn't care about opportunity for all kids.
Canada's prime minister says he expects to be in a trade war for the foreseeable future after Mr. Trump imposed 25% tariffs. Ontario's premier, Doug Ford.
The only country that's benefiting from the squabble, if you want to call it that, is China. And they're sitting back laughing, watching the two closest friends and allies fight a tariff war.
South Carolina's Supreme Court has cleared the way for a 67-year-old to be executed by firing squad for beating his ex-girlfriend's parents to death with a baseball bat. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Wisconsin's healthcare costs are some of the most expensive in the nation, and employers worry they'll just keep rising. Melissa Kay reports.
88% of employers predict their healthcare costs will increase even more this year. Scott Manley is WMC's Executive Vice President of Government Relations. He stated, these costs are not only a competitive disadvantage as they dip into employee compensation, investment opportunities, and more, but they also hurt Wisconsin families. When asked what state government could do to help businesses, 41% of respondents answered, make healthcare more affordable. Wisconsin's healthcare costs are among the fifth highest in the nation.
And a MAGA-aligned group says some in-person early voting locations in Wisconsin are unfair. Here's Lisa Hale with more.
That assertion is made in letters from the American First Policy Institute to the Wisconsin Elections Commission and local election officials in Madison, La Crosse, and in Oshkosh, all of which have significant number of college students who tend to vote Democrat. AFPI claims sites located near college campuses violate state law and amount to something called early voting poll location gerrymandering. The letters urge local officials to remedy the issue by providing early voting locations that don't provide an advantage to either political party. Early voting begins March 18th for the April 1st election, which includes a crucial seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And daylight saving time starts this weekend. We spring forward and move the clocks 1 hour ahead. While that means extra light in the evening, it also means losing an hour of sleep. Doctors say children and teens are especially prone to health impacts of getting less sleep. So families should plan ahead now. Adjust bedtime. Make it about 15 minutes earlier every day before the actual time changes. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Bucks down the Mavericks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks cruise to another win at home, 137-107, past the Dallas Mavericks team missing seven other players. How did the Bucks handle themselves? Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I thought we played the right way overall. Aggressive, moved the ball, defended. They have so many guys out. You know, tough for them. Like, that's how I kept thinking that. Like, yeah, you got Klay Thompson over there, and so it's just a tough spot.
College hoops, the Badgers with a win in Minnesota, 74-67. John Blackwell led with 25 points and a career-high 11 rebounds. Marquette losing at UConn, 72-66. The game delayed for 22 minutes at the start.
I said it was a leak in the roof, and it was leaking on the baseline. You know, they talked about canceling the game if it didn't get addressed. So, you know, I told Danny we'd go across the street to the practice gym if we had to, but I'm glad we could play the game here.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 35 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 15 will be our low. Tomorrow, sunshine, 34. We'll get to 37 Saturday, then back to the 40s to 50s by Sunday and Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be Civic Media's own Todd Alba. And then Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter Paul Hanna joins me in the studio. I'm telling you, don't miss this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Thursday, March 6th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk here in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same as yesterday. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same as yesterday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We're going to have a really, really busy show for you today. Coming up at 10:33, our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review, which you can listen to Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Jim Santel will be here. Donald Trump just suffered a loss at the hands of the Supreme Court.
Yes, and with an interesting player.
Very interesting player. Jim will be talking with us about that, among a whole bunch of other things. That would be words. Legal-wise, yeah. Because we are not lawyers. That's why we bring experts on, like people who are actual lawyers. After the 11 o'clock news, Dr. Calico Schmidt is a veterinarian with the UW-Madison Veterinary Medicine Group. And I've been wanting to do this for a while. I saw an article about a month ago about dogs getting Alzheimer's. And this relates to my sister and I both had dogs that got into what Barkley was 14.
Yeah.
And I think Nina made it to like 16. Mm-hmm. But at one point, her little dog would stand in the corner and she would just stare at the wall. I know it breaks your heart because they can't tell you what's wrong. But if you're a pet owner and if you have questions for Dr. Schmidt, please email those in.
Please,
send
yes,
those in.
Yes.
You can do that right now at 855-752-4842. Dr. Calico Schmidt. Joining us after the 11 o'clock news, then a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Mm-hmm. Boy, did they get creamed up north.
Yes.
If you're in Hayward or Bayfield or I think she mentioned Butternut this morning. I love that town.
I just can't believe there's a place in Wisconsin. Oh, I'm from Butternut.
Butternut. It makes me so happy that there's a Butternut, Wisconsin. So, but then we have a big warm up coming. So yeah. Brittany Merlot will be joining us at 11:20. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company, their sports guru, will join us at 11:33. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the All Things Must Pass Eventually edition.
Ow.
Stay tuned for that. Did want to start off, though. This is not good news. Betrayed veterans from the Daily Beast rage over Trump's sweeping VA cuts. Nearly 83,000 Veterans Affairs employees are now facing the axe in the name of efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And we did reference this briefly yesterday. We didn't actually play the clip from a Donald Trump lackey.
Ms. Haba.
Alina Haba had this to say about Americans veterans. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
Well, as you know, we care about veterans tremendously. I mean, that's something the president has always cared about. Anybody in blue, anybody that serves this country.
Set the Capitol, please.
But at the same time, we have taxpayer dollars. We have a fiscal responsibility to use taxpayer dollars to pay people that actually work. That doesn't mean that we forget our veterans by any means. We are going to care for them in the right way, but perhaps they're not fit to have a job at this moment or not willing to come to work. And we can't, you know, I wouldn't take money from you and pay somebody and say, sorry, you know, they're not going to come to work. It's just not acceptable.
That last part makes no sense. I've listened to that last part maybe like 10 times.
First of all, we're going to take care of veterans in the right way. I'd love more details about what that means.
Also, we support anyone in blue, except you just said.
Except the Capitol Police.
Which they're nothing.
No. And there is a plaque that is supposed to be put up in the House of Representatives honoring the Capitol Police,
yep,
who protected our lawmakers on January 6th as that attack was happening at the Capitol. Yeah, that plaque still hasn't been mounted because they can't decide whether or not they actually support the Capitol Police, apparently.
Well, there are people who actually say no police died that day. You're very incorrect. You're very correct. Nobody died that day. But because they died a day later, a week later, that's totally different. It had nothing to do with January 6th. It was all Biden's fault.
So, Alina Habba, if you were a veteran, mm-hmm, and I would love to hear from you, how does that make you feel when you hear Alina Habba say something like that? Maybe you're not fit to have a job right now.
You're just too lazy. You don't want to come in.
You don't want to come in and go to work.
And that was the other thing, too. People who don't want to come in, this underlying low-rent targeting of remote work. We're seeing it in Madison with Robin Voss. He makes a big old deal about it when it's not a big deal. In fact, reports have shown efficiency goes up, productivity goes up when you allow people to work remotely. But this whole attack on remote work, work from home, that's not the proper road to use when crapping over the vets was what she is doing, calling them lazy.
Essentially, a memo leaked yesterday revealed that the VA, in partnership with Elon Musk's Doge, will return to 2019 staffing levels. The goal is to return to those levels, even though the PACT Act in 2022 expanded VA health care and disability benefits to cover millions more veterans who had been exposed to burn pits and other toxic substances. Mm-hmm. The VA was contacted for comment from the Daily Beast. Yet no response.
Because the person who answers that phone got fired, probably.
Senator Tammy Duckworth, who's a Democrat of Illinois and also a veteran of the Iraq War, put this on Twitter. Mark my word, this is the Republicans' plan all along. Gut the VA, then push to privatize the departments so they can fund tax cuts for billionaires, and our heroes will pay the price. Vote Vets, which is a group that I follow on Twitter. I encourage you to do that. Vote Vets is a group that encourages veterans to run for office. They call the plan infuriating. If you are a veteran or the spouse of a veteran or the daughter or son of a veteran, I would love to know how you feel about this. When you hear Alina Habba in Trump's inner circle saying, well, we're going to take care of vets the right way, but maybe they don't deserve to have a job right now.
Well, Cassandra on the live stream is very frank about it. She says, my dad was a vet and couldn't work because of his military service. With respect, she can shove it.
Thank you, Cassandra. Brief, concise, and to the point.
And FCC compliance.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The proposed layoffs at the VA will deliver a 1-2 punch where veterans are being laid off at the same time that it becomes more difficult for other veterans to get care. This is just going to be an ongoing cycle of pain.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we were told to expect for 2 years. And also, this is just the VA. I mean, the executive order on the Department of Education, they are going to gut anything they don't find necessary. And it's the Republicans. They don't find anything in the federal government necessary. They're going to do what they've been trying to do for decades, which is make it so small it's incapable of working and sell it off to the highest bidders.
I saw yesterday reports, of course, and we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump now talking about privatizing the United States Postal Service and privatizing Amtrak.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the greatest idea to put everything in the hands of private individuals like Elon? Is that the answer to all of our problems?
Nope. And I will once again give a very brief example of this theory. In Racine, back in the 2000s, they wanted to privatize their garbage pickup. They went and looked at different groups to do it. They found out that not only were they going to pay more in a year for private garbage pickup versus having it be a public service, they were also going to not be able to be they were not going to be able to provide customer service of the same quality because it's a private business. So the city can give certain the city can give certain guarantees, but when it's privatized, that's up to them. Then it's not, you're on your own.
Well, and when we talked about the Postal Service has to deliver to inconvenient areas. Mm-hmm. That's part of their mandate. They have to deliver your mail.
Yes.
A private company isn't going to have to do that.
No, they can change their mind and be like,
you have to come here to get your mail.
We're giving you complimentary P.O. boxes.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the show, talking about Alina Habba in Trump's inner circle, stating yesterday that maybe our vets don't deserve, you know, a job.
No, because I don't even like saying it because, like, the idea of, like, her calling them lazy. And she didn't say lazy, but that is the takeaway.
Well, that's the inference. They don't want to come into work.
Exactly.
You don't want to come into work. Yeah. Al from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Al. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. I am a Vietnam veteran, wounded 6 times. My grandfather was in the Army. My mother was in the Army. My father was in the Navy. My sister was in the Army. I have 2 sons who were Marines and 3 uncles who were in the Army. We came home and got cut off from everything, no matter what. You go to other countries, the veterans are given free housing. They're given food for the rest of their lives, and they come to them for advice about how to approach other issues dealing with war or what have you. In this country, you get kicked to the curb. And when I was vice president of the Center for Veterans Issues in Milwaukee, a black-funded, founded organization, which has been taken over by all white men, we did a research on the VA. And the VA, after Vietnam, showed us that only 1/3 of all of the veterans in this country get services through the VA. But the VA has one of the largest budgets in our government. And we could not find in our research any place that they audited the VA's budget.
So, Al, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're coming up against the break. So do you feel that these cuts are a good thing?
Definitely not. These people earned what they were getting, and they actually are owed more.
Mm.
And these people, all of this is about money. It's not about the people or service to a country. It's about Trump and that idiot from South Africa gathering as much money in this government as possible so they can go do something else with it.
Yep. Thank you so much, Al, and thank you and your family for your decades of service. Seriously, we mean that.
Yes.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau, every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Parade.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our friend and colleague Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the network from 9 to 11. Jim's going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. Donald Trump actually lost a case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't think he's happy about that. We'll talk about that a little bit with Mr. Santel coming up very, very shortly. I did want to address this just a little bit this morning because I think it's important, especially when people wonder, what can I do? I'm so frustrated, I'm worried, I'm concerned. What can I do to make a difference? This came out yesterday. Rich Kremer, excuse me, with the byline in at Wisconsin Public Radio, headline reads, "Poll shows many don't know about Crawford or Schimmel in pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court race." This according to the Marquette University Law School poll that came out yesterday. A majority of registered voters in Wisconsin do not have an opinion yet about Susan Crawford or Brad Schimmel, and the election is April 1st.
Yes. It's 4 weeks.
4 weeks away. This is a critically important race.
Yeah.
If Brad Schimmel is elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it will once again flip back to conservative control. We've only just gotten fairer maps once Janet Protasiewicz was elected. If Brad Schimmel gets on there, I predict they will undo that.
Yes.
Almost immediately, because they want to make sure they lock in those Republican seats so they don't actually have to face their constituents who might be unhappy with them.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because that's what it does. If we go back to the old maps, this just insulates all lawmakers, essentially, Democrats too, from having to be accountable to their constituents because their seats are so safe, they don't have to respond.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad idea to me.
Well, I would say that, I would say that almost everything Brad Schimmel stands for is not a good idea because you look, you take a 30,000-foot view of him, and it's not just the maps. It's his viewpoints on abortion. It's
1849 is great law. 1849 abortion ban is a great law, according to Brad Schimmel.
Quote, "Where's the flaw?
Where's the flaw?
19th century piece of legislation.
Before women could vote."
Yeah.
And by the way, he also has, I believe, he has the backing of Pro-Life Wisconsin, which doesn't want any exceptions for abortions, even the life of the mother. Please think about that for a moment.
And there's another aspect to him as well. His viewpoints on the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, he signed on when he was Attorney General under Scott Walker. He signed on to a case in Texas trying to overturn the ACA, which is also known as Obamacare.
And so you have those three, abortion, you have legislative maps, and you have the ACA. Pile on top of that, who's funding him?
You know who really likes Brad Schimmel?
Who, Jane?
Elon Musk.
This guy? Jabba the Musk?
Elon Musk really, really likes Brad Schimmel. He's pouring in millions of dollars into Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
To make sure that Brad gets on the court. And this is my speculation.
Yeah.
Elon currently does not have any company-run Tesla dealerships in Wisconsin. There is a chance that this could come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, ultimately.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be handy if Elon's guy was on the court? Should that case come before them?
With the powers of the court tipped in the balances of the right, I think that Brad Schimmel being in that position would just help them get, well, darn near everything they want to get.
I guess my point is, and we say this, and I know it might not feel like enough, but talk to people about what you know.
Yep.
Talk to people about what you know about these candidates. We got 4 weeks to inform people about who they're going to be voting for.
Yes.
And personally, I don't think it should be based on how many yard signs you see, but that does sway people.
It does. And commercials.
Absolutely.
When Brad Schimmel is sandwiching his commercials around Susan Crawford commercials, and it's only going to get worse and worse and worse.
Absolutely.
More money comes in, and not just from Elon. Diane Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
The U-Lines. I mean, it is the usual suspects of millionaire and billionaire influencers here in Wisconsin for the right. They're pouring their money into these campaigns for a judge's race, which is going to be more expensive than, you know, the last race.
855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I just joined. Are you talking about the Marquette poll?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess Brad Schimmel is leading in the polls, and 58% of the Wisconsinites don't know enough about either candidate. How many years did we have stupid Schimmel as our district or our
AG
general?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, really, people, are your heads that deep in the sand? The man is vile and evil, and he's spent more of our taxpayer dollars on foolishness than you can shake a stick at, and 58% of the people just don't understand this stuff. No wonder we're in such trouble, for God's sakes.
But, you know, Cindy, we talk about this a lot. There are folks who have a lot going on in their lives, and being up on politics isn't their priority, and I'm not going to shame anybody for that. Yeah. That's why I am putting the onus upon us to help people understand within your circle what we're talking about here. Elon is... Brad Schimmel is Musk's boy.
Yes.
Is Elon Musk's boy. Brad Schimmel completely supports the 1849 abortion ban, which will kill women.
Yes.
It will kill women. Brad Schimmel, thank you for reminding me, Cindy, also spent, when he was Attorney General, $10,000 of taxpayer money for these fancy schmancy commemorative coins, talking about how his office kicked ass every day. A good steward of taxpayer dollars.
And Charles Franklin, who runs the Marquette University poll, will be on Maggie Dawn Show today at 2 p.m. to talk about the breakdown.
So check that out as well. We have news coming up next. When we're back, Jim Santel will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Republicans in Congress are working on budget plans that could cut funding to Medicaid, which would impact health care for millions of disabled and low-income Americans. Savannah Tomei-Olson breaks down the possible cuts and how many Wisconsinites rely on this funding.
In the House, lawmakers passed a budget resolution instructing the Energy and Commerce Committee to cut $880 billion from the budget over the next 9 years. Experts say those cuts are impossible without slashing funding to Medicaid. The state federal program provides coverage for 18% of Wisconsinites. That's 1.2 million people here. That includes 1 in 3 Wisconsin kids and 4 in 7 nursing home residents across the state. Liz Williams, senior policy analyst for Kaiser Family Foundation.
Medicaid is jointly funded by states and the federal government, so any restrictions in federal Medicaid spending really leave states with tough choices about how to offset reductions.
Williams says states only have a couple options, including increasing state tax revenues, decreasing spending on non-Medicaid services like education, or decreasing coverage for other groups. Republicans are targeting these programs for lower funding in order to pay for Donald Trump's tax cuts from 2017. They're set to expire. According to the Center on Policy and Budget Priorities, nearly half that money would go toward the top 5% of Americans with the most wealth. Republicans' tax cuts under this plan would cost $4.5 trillion.
And a free workshop in Wausau, profitability for your mobile food and catering business. It'll offer potential food truck and catering business owners insights into financial strategies, management, and licensing. It'll feature expertise from entrepreneur Peter Robertson. The event is free, and it's happening this Saturday at North Star Restoration on Stewart Avenue. Starts at 9 a.m. and will last about 4 hours. And of course, lunch will be provided by a local food truck. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're heading to the theater this weekend while the snow melts, here are some moving pictures you might enjoy, especially if you're into sci-fi. Opening in wide release is Mickey 17. It's being called a sci-fi comedy, drama, mystery, thriller. It covers a lot of bases. I think the only genre they're missing is adult film. The movie stars Robert Pattinson, who plays an expendable on a dangerous mission to colonize a planet covered with ice. The film is getting mad love from critics with an 87% and certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Another new sci-fi film that hits theaters, In the Lost Lands, stars Mila Jovovich and David Bautista. The film is about a queen who sends a sorceress into forbidden lands to find magical powers, kind of a necessity in the sorcery game. It's a nice cast and sounds fun, but is batting about a 50% with just a handful of reviews in. If science fiction isn't your thing, there are still lots of leftovers in the theaters from the last couple weeks, and most Oscar films are available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful today. Still a bit breezy with winds gusting out of the west around 30 miles per hour. Highs today will hit the mid-30s, and we put that on repeat for tomorrow and Saturday before we hit a nice warm-up to close the weekend out and into next week. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
The Central Wisconsin Storm are back at the state tournament. Thursday night, the Storm will take on the Eau Claire Area Stars in a girls hockey state semifinal. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 7:06 and the opening faceoff at 7:30. Central Wisconsin Storm Hockey from the state tournament is brought to you by Four Seasons Golf, the Wausau Cyclones, Mike Whitmore Construction, Mosany Family Chiropractic, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Central Wisconsin Storm taking on the Eau Claire Area Stars in a girls' hockey state semifinal. Thursday night, starting with the pregame show at 7:06 on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on this serious side. We'll talk about the 80,000 cuts proposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs and on what's worse, the Olio edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-8582. That's 855-755-Civic. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, the deadline to register to vote via mail or online for the April 1st general election is next Wednesday, March 12th. If you don't know if you're registered, if you want to check, if you want to see what's on your ballot, just go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address, and everything you need will come up. It's really a great one-stop shop.
Yes.
Including in case you're ever inclined to call one of your representatives.
Jane, can I find phone numbers there?
You can find all the applicable phone numbers right there, and they love hearing from us.
Should I swear and be mean?
No.
Okay.
Don't. That's kind of the same rule we have for the show. If all you have are curse words and insults, then you have no argument. So yeah, I wouldn't suggest that you do that. But I do encourage people to call.
Yeah.
And leave a message. Just let them know you're thinking of them. I think that's important.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. Thinking of you, won't forget. All right. Joining us now from his somewhere in southeastern Wisconsin, and he is our friend and colleague who has a show on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11 called Amicus, a Law Review. Jim Santel is here now for our new weekly spot. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us. You are still an acting attorney. You still actually do attorney things.
I do attorney stuff and court things and all those that fun stuff, and great to work on a number of different civil rights cases, human stuff, and we can chat about that sometime down the road. If I can jump right into Greg's comment about things we say on the air, note as well that this president on February 18th entered an executive order in which he claimed that, yes, the Federal Communications Commission is now under his exclusive control, that he states what the law is, and that this independent agency, previously created by our Congress, is now inside the Oval Office. A stunning thing. So, Greg, watch what you're saying, not only before, but especially now, because apparently the president is listening.
Well,
it's a stunning thing. I don't mean to make light of it at all. It is horrific.
And is he actually allowed to do that? This is mine now. I'm taking this agency now. It's mine.
That begs a question. Go on. I'm sorry, sir.
No. It does beg a lot of questions. And the answer is no.
Okay.
And yet, as we're going to talk, I think, in the next few moments here today and every Thursday, which I'm very excited about, by the way, to be with you, we're going to talk about the challenges to that. And what do you do? Well, as to the FCC, as to these other agencies, he's likewise now brought apparently under the White House aegis here, the Federal Trade Communications, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the National Labor Relations Board, a part of the Federal Reserve that establishes our financial policy. What's going to happen is we're going to be running into court now, challenging all these things, and eventually leading up to the Supreme Court, which, again, as we're going to talk, is now weighing in on all this. Why are we doing this as Americans rather than focusing on things like education and environment and commercial policy and, yes, overseas international policy, healthcare, all those, labor, commerce, agriculture? But instead, we're running into court, getting judges, requiring judges to say almost across the board, unanimously, you can't do this, Mr. President. And that's the frustrating part about all of this.
Because it seems like, and it seems like to me that executive orders, in the sense of like the FCC is mine, that seems almost like a proclamation type of level. You're like, it's not really your day. You can say it's yours, but it's not yours. The FCC. But now what it does is instead of, it doesn't change anything other than you having to go to the courts and fight the executive order's language, which now just gums up our already slow working court system.
Yes.
Takes time away from the work they should be doing on actual important things. But like, I guess, because that's what the thing is, like, everyone's freaking out about executive orders. And I'm wondering which ones are important and which ones do we say English as the national language? Let's just focus on the important things.
Right. I think that's exactly right. And some of the judges are saying just that. That is, some of these do go to the core. And those that do go to the core fundamentally are addressing this basic issue, which we all learned, I think, in grade school, maybe not, but the fundamental notion is Congress sets up all of these agencies. It's the Article 1 of our Constitution. It's the big one. Congress is the one who makes these decisions. They put it in place. They establish the rules. And as a part of our checks and balances, the president, yes, can make decisions in these areas, but the agencies then respond, the Congress responds, the courts respond. And when a president simply says, as Louis XIV did way back in the 17th century, here's some French this morning, right? L'état, c'est moi, right? Greg, you and I talked about
this
a number of weeks ago. When the president simply says, I am the law, which is what he said on February 18th, and you follow that, and if you don't, bad things are going to happen to you. That's when, once again, as we're always saying so consistently, we now have an authoritarian government inconsistent with our Constitution, the basic ways in which our government works.
There are so many different ways that this is problematic. And I've spent a lot of time, Jim, because, again, one of Congress's main things is the power of the purse. That is their power. They control what money gets sent out, what gets appropriated where. So that is their big constitutional power. And I kept thinking about, if you are a member of the House, why would you cede that authority? That's the best thing you've got. That's your cudgel. That's your, you know, that's your thing. They can, I can only imagine that they are being promised that, well, if you just cede this power to the president, we're going to make sure you never have to run again. And essentially, you'll never have to work another day in your life because you're never going to have to respond to your constituents.
Right. All you need to do is show up every so often at one of those House or the Senate buildings on either side of the Capitol. Will keep you there. And Shane, I could not have said it more. No one can say it better than you just did, which is you are elected by the people, whether it's of some of the districts in Wisconsin or one of the other 434 other districts around the country, to represent them. If you make decisions, if you vote in certain ways and a majority of your voting constituents say no, all right. That's, again, a part of our process, and I recognize that power is a big thing, but that also affirms the fundamental notion that we do have a representative democracy. If you are ceding, as you just said, that authority given to you by your local constituents, and you go to Washington and say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything other than what the White House has told me to do, you're in violation of the oath that you took. You're in violation of the contract that you made with everyone who voted for you.
If you're just joining us, Jim Santel is our guest. He hosts Amicus Law Review Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. It's a wonderful program. You will learn so much. And in actual human speak, as opposed to just lawyer speak, which is a whole different language.
I know.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you on, Jim, this is from Esquire. The Supreme Court ruled against Trump, but it didn't stop Justice Alito from getting snotty. I love the headline. So Donald Trump did actually have a loss in front of the Supreme Court that happened this week.
Absolutely. And this is a big one. This is a big one. And the important reason it's so important, Jane and Greg and Calvin, that you address this for all your listeners is that this has got everything inside it, right? It's got the usurpation of authority by a president. It's got congressional action. It's got, again, snottiness. I would describe it as intellectual dishonesty. We'll talk about some of the language that Alito has used.
Yeah.
It's simply wrong. It's simply wrong. It's intellectually dishonest. It's got foreign policy. And yes, it also has the continuing emergence of Amy Coney Barrett distancing herself more and more. We've talked about a lot of this on your show in the past from her conservative allies. Watch her in the future and see what she does. She joins John Roberts in handing this defeat to the president.
When I saw that, I almost fell out of my chair. Seriously. And MAGA is up in arms now about Amy Coney Barrett. They are furious that she sided again with the liberals. But then John Roberts did, too.
Which is nothing new for John Roberts.
Every once in a while, he does something not nuts.
Right. That's a perfect way to describe it. Because I really do believe, as again, we've discussed in the past, I think every so often he wakes up and thinks, gosh, this is the Roberts Court. It's going to have my name on it for all time, history. And maybe on some of these really fundamental things, although, again, he is also the one that 8 months ago gave the president a pass on criminal activity. For which, just as an aside, have you heard about this hot mic at the State of the Union?
Yes.
The president walks over to John Roberts and says, thank you. We won't forget.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Quid pro quo right there in the wall, the halls of the Congress. But again, this is a situation where you've got maybe an emerging Supreme Court, maybe a little bit of the Chief Justice saying this is too far. And so he also, in a very brief order to get into the substance of this, this is what Donald Trump did, as he promised, on January 20. He halts all programs, all monies for what we know as USAID. This is the foreign aid programs that does all sorts of things, medical care, food, businesses, commercial disease prevention, political instability. When I was in Iraq, these are the folks who made things happen there to develop an institution, a new government. And Donald Trump comes in and again says horrifically stopping all of that. Now, what happens is it goes to a judge named Amir Ali, who we've talked about before. He's in the federal district court in Washington, D.C. And Ali looks at this and says, first of all, again, no authority, no executive authority for the president to do this. And he orders that it all be stopped, or at least he enters what's called a TRO, a temporary restraining order. And again, indicates, tells the president, knock it off. Get these funds flowing once again. And about $1.5 billion, the judge directs them to do that. And again, in the category of this event, this news story has everything. We've got the other major issue here, which is arguably moving toward a constitutional crisis. Because as Judge Ali said, during the course of these initial proceedings, gets the attorneys back in and he says, what's going on? Why are you not following what I told you to do?
Yep.
The attorneys for the Department of Justice say, well, I can't. We've got some theories here that maybe your order didn't mean what it says. He says, no. He says, no. Do what I said, or I'm going to find you in contempt. And it's then that the attorneys take this to the Supreme Court. John Roberts briefly suspends, stays everything that the judge has done. And then again, just yesterday, issues this 5-4 decision, just a paragraph. It's kind of convoluted because there's all this procedural history there,
right,
which I've somewhat glossed over. But in the end, he says, nope, the president needs to abide. At least he needs to follow the law. He sends it back to the judge and says, be a little bit more particular about what exactly you need for them to do. You should clarify what obligations the government must fulfill. The judge, in this case, he will jump right on that. I'm sure he's on it today. And he will tell the attorneys once again, here's exactly what you need to do. Follow what I'm saying or else. And again, if Donald Trump says no, we do have that constitutional crisis afoot.
Well, and that leads me, and we're going to come right up against the break, so we'll address this on the other side. What does that or else mean? Where does that or else take us, and what could happen if we get to that point? Jim Santel is our guest. He's host of Amicus, a law review across the network, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. We are global if you have the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Officials in Little Chute have removed more than 90 dead ducks from a storm pond, the likely culprit, bird flu. That comes after hundreds of rare red-breasted mergansers were found either dead or sick along Lake Michigan. Meantime, Wisconsin will start sampling milk at dairy farms to test for the virus. Fears that protections for our Great Lakes and more will be on the chopping block after EPA Director Lee Zeldin announced plans to cut the agency by 65%. The EPA oversees bedrock safeguards like the Clean Water Act, Safe Drinking Water Act, and Clean Air Act. It's unclear how those protections will remain enforced if deep cuts happen. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Good morning.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Matt and Heron here. I'm getting all Dave Brubecky, getting that jazz vibe.
Welcome back in the air.
Welcome to Matt and Heron here. Jane Matt and Heron, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Next hour at this time, we will be wrapping up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the All Things Must Pass Eventually edition. Stick around for this one. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays at civicmedia.us. We are joined by our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays from 9 to 11 in the morning across the network. Jim Santel is here. And right before we went to the break, we were talking about kind of this surprising decision by the Supreme Court, voting 5-4 to uphold a lower court ruling that will force Trump to release $2 billion in aid already approved for this USAID program. Right before we went to break, Jim, I asked, what if they don't do this? I mean, some of his advisors, and I can't think of which one off the top of my head, have already said, just ignore him. So the Supreme Court ruled this way. Just do it. Just do it.
Right. One of those advisors, and I think all three of us, all of your listeners probably would put advisors in quotes, is the Vice President of the United States of America, who Jane has said just that. He said, you know what? Presidents do not have to follow what mere federal judges say. No, you went to law school. Apparently you were sleeping through most of the constitutional law courses, Mr. Vice President, but you do have to follow that, and becomes relevant, Jane. And Greg, just because, again, Judge Ali said, I'm ordering you to do this. When they didn't do it, he called them back in. He said, you're not defying my order. You need to follow what we're doing. And the government comes back and says, well, we're looking at these contracts case by case. The judge interrupts him and says, no case by case analysis. You release the $2 billion. And he orders them basically by midnight of a day last week to put all this in place. And that, as you just said, is when we get to the Supreme Court. the question you raise is, now that we've got this order and we're going forward, do those same attorneys who said we don't need to follow what you're directing, Judge Ali, do they do what they say? And that is the premise. That's the predicate for a true constitutional crisis. We talk a lot about things being constitutional crisis. Watergate was not a constitutional crisis. Why? Because in the end, Richard Nixon complied with the order
right.
to release those tapes that spelled his doom. He followed the rule of law, and his presidency devolved after that. Here we have now, for the first time in our history, a president and his advisors who may be saying, we don't need to follow that. And if that is the case, where do we go?
Right.
What is the next step? Mm. What is the next step? There is no further check on that, short of the people once again, like in South Korea and Israel before the Gaza war, taking to the streets and saying, we are not going to permit this to happen. That's what's looming. And that's why this story is so very important. That, of course, and including your favorite justice, Jane, Sam Alito, and the language there also speaks to this issue. He is, again, intellectual dishonesty, right? What he says is that he's got an 8-page dissent. You know, he thinks thou dost protest too much, an 8-page dissent in all this. And he says the law says the judge is requiring you to pay this $2 billion, not because the law requires it. Oh, yes.
It does.
The Congress said, you've got to do this. He said, but because a single district court judge ordered it. Well, that too. And now I wonder if you were sleeping through law school, Justice Alito. We have judges all the time who order things. They've taken up an appeal. Remember the judge in Northern Texas who ordered a nationwide ban on mifepristone?
Yes.
That was a singular judge.
Yes.
Now, that gets reversed for all sorts of reasons. But when he says it's intellectually dishonest to say it's not what the law requires. But here's the big one. Here's the big one. He says it's judicial hubris. He's talking about his colleagues. It imposes a $2 billion penalty on American taxpayers. No. It's a penalty only if the budget of the United States of America and things the Congress does is a penalty. If you buy into that crazy language, then you're right, Mr. Associate Justice. But that's intellectually dishonest. And he knows it. He just plain knows it. And that's why this is so very frustrating.
I guess Alito snoozed through Yale Law School and just became a tax expert.
I think of Sam right. Alito missed his time in history. He should have been around for the Inquisition. He would have been great. He would have been a happy guy, witch hunting and stuff.
Right. And he goes on to say, of course, that he's got this obligation to ensure that the power entrusted to federal judges is supported by the Constitution, that it's not abused. Judge Ali is not abusing anything, Mr. Associate Justice. You're the ones who, by encouraging defying of this order, who are setting us on the course of a true constitutional disaster here. Judicial hubris? No. Judicial support. It is stunning, candidly, that all the justices of the Supreme Court are not voting in favor of supporting the lower court judge. The fact that we've got four of them who are still out there saying, yeah, this is okay. That should also be stunning for all your listeners. I know it is.
Check out Jim's show. It's fantastic. He's going to be joining us once a week, every Thursday at this time. Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Thank you so much, Jim. Really appreciate it. News
Always a pleasure, Jane.
Is coming up next, and then we're going to talk dogs and Alzheimer's.
Okay.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, as usual, we will wrap up the week's big stories from a Courier newsroom perspective and a panel that includes veteran journalists and a former U.S. attorney.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Revel in the soul of New Orleans and the spirit of Mardi Gras with the latest Jazz at Lincoln Center Presents concert celebrating the New Orleans songbook.
led by acclaimed pianist Luther S. Allison and featuring the soulful vocals of Keanu Linnell and Milton Suggs, this concert celebrates the legendary composers and timeless songs that define the Crescent City. New Orleans Songbook, coming to the Grand Theater Wausau Friday, March 21st. Tickets at grandtheater.org.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We're expecting President Trump to issue an executive order as early as today to try to shut down the Education Department. CBS's Natalie Brand with reaction from the head of the American Federation of Teachers.
New Education Secretary.
Here's Natalie.
She says trying to abolish it, which, by the way, only Congress can do, sends a message that the president, quote, doesn't care about opportunity for all kids.
Canada's prime minister says he expects to be in a trade war for the foreseeable future after Mr. Trump imposed 25% tariffs. Ontario's premier, Doug Ford.
The only country that's benefiting from the squabble, if you want to call it that, is China. And they're sitting back laughing, watching the two closest friends and allies fight a tariff war.
South Carolina Supreme Court has cleared the way for a 67-year-old to be executed by firing squad for beating his ex-girlfriend's parents to death with a baseball bat. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.